Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone. Welcome to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. Excuse me. We invite you to take this pew pad, members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask that last person, when it comes to you, please send it back to where it began this morning. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Reminder, we are having children's time today, so invite the kids to come down here for just a few moments with me right after the first hymn. Let's see. Wednesday night schedule. We're continuing our summer series. We have picnic this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and then stay for the Bible study. It's a great time together. There are activities available for children. Rebecca has things ready for them, so we want you to come and be a part of that study every Wednesday night. We're in the midst of all of our camps. Preschool camp has been going on. We continue to need nursery workers each week. If you're available to help with that, our youth, we have several youth workers. We also need several adult workers each week. So talk to me or talk to Rebecca about working with that preschool day camp. Roger. He has an announcement about our home mission trip.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, that's great. Glad to be here this morning. We have a great day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's more. Our people just function beautifully. We got the walls up, the shingles almost finished, the trusses up, the windows in. Siding started. Vinyl siding, we're about 40 to 50% through with that, and got the electrical and rough end done and an inspection pad. So we've just made such great progress. I couldn't believe the team. We ended up with about 46 of our people and about 5 of us. So that's a great turnout. We left here last Sunday with 23 signed up. I was concerned that you guys came through. And now I need to ask, and Saturday we had about 40 people, and that was a great turnout. And this coming Saturday is our sheetrock day. We're going to need your help. We're going to need your help. We're going to need your help. Money's still coming in. We are really making good progress. The family, two of the family members were with us and working some yesterday, and they're so excited about this new house. Somebody may have heard I had a little mishap at the end of the day yesterday. I turned my scooter over off the curb onto the cement, onto the asphalt, and they got that.
Thank you, Roger. I'm not sure how fast the pothole crew works around Winston-Salem, but we're going to test that theory. Okay. I think that's all the announcements. Other things are listed there, upcoming events, opportunities for the week, many things we couldn't talk about, but that are listed there. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of worship today. We'd like to give something to you. Just a moment ago, we asked for your name on that pew pad, and we appreciate that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to the church. Also, the newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today.
The food.
Yes. I told her to remind. I had the note here, and I still forgot to say it. One of the things about the whole mission trip, the 50 people that were out there, they like to eat. And that makes sure we have a full work day, not just a half a work day. So we need some people to help with the food sign up. And we're doing that week to week. Outside of Smith Hall, down the main hallway of the church, there is a sign up for some food needs. If you can check that and sign up for what you may be able to provide, that would be very helpful. Yes, they did. They know how to feed, and it was very, very, very good. It was just a good day yesterday and on Friday. There we had about 40 to 50 people. It was amazing the amount of work that got done in such a short amount of time. And it's just always a reminder to me of the people that have provided food, the people who provided money and resources, and you know, companies that have donated supplies for projects like this. When everybody plays the part that they can play, how God's Spirit pulls that all together and does something that only God can do. But He needs and wants us to play our part. But it's only when God is in the midst of His people that everything comes together and makes sense. That's what worship is about. Only when God comes in the midst of His people does everything make sense. So in your life and in my life and the questions that come, are you allowing God to be your guide? Are you wanting to be in His presence? Not just Sunday morning, but Monday morning too when you're getting ready for work. Are you asking for God's presence? That is the essence of worship. And that is the essence of what our lives should be. Let us prepare for worship. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, what love you have for us. Your love never changes. It is steadfast. It is strong. It is constant. Thank you for that reminder every day. We need to remember that every breath that we take is a gift. And we should treat this life as the precious gift that it is. We know that all things flow from your hands. All good things that are in our lives are things from you. And so we invite you into this place. Teach us, mold us, hear us worship you, see us as we praise your name. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite all the kids, come on down. It's good to see everybody this morning. And this mic, we're going to throw it out. It's good to see you this morning. Everybody good? I've got a few things to show. Oh, come on there, Jared. I didn't see you down there. I don't know why. You had a bright shirt on. Come sit over here. Crisscross applesauce. All right. I got a few things. I'm going to move without moving and see if this mic works. Anybody know what this is? Sleeping bag. All right. What's this for? Oh, for sleeping. Okay. Sleeping bag. Let's see. What? Pillow. What's this for? Pillow fights. All right. That's one thing. Okay, but to sleep on. All right, so we kind of got a theme here. If you're going to a... What's this? Flashlight. Yeah, that got to make sure that works. Let's see. What else do you need? Oh, this is something I have to take wherever I go. Something like this. It's a picture of somebody you love. Don't you have some of these? Yeah. Matthew, So you take your flashlight and you shine it when it's dark and you can see like that. All right, that's important. Yeah. Oh, there's something else in here. Oh, you got to have something to sleep with, right? This is Froggy. Isn't that a good name? Yeah. And these are all things that we sleep with, right? But why do we sleep? Why do we sleep? You get a good night's rest. You yell cock-a-doodle-doo at your mom? Only on special holidays. Okay. Flag Day, those days. Well, it's really important to get our rest. In fact, even Jesus talks about in the Bible about resting, about sleeping. Some of you guys, you know, when you were little, you took naps, right? Yeah. Well, do you take naps now?
No.
There's the day. How many of y'all take naps? Look at all the hands raised out there. Naps are good things. And God gives us rest so that when we get up, we are ready to go and do all the things He wants us to do. So, when it's time to rest, you need to close your eyes, go to sleep, hold tight, see those pictures that you love, and get your rest. And that's what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about, the importance of resting. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you give us rest. You want us to rest, not to be so busy and doing so many things. Help us to learn how to rest, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go back to your seat.
Wonderful. We all need to hear about that. That is great. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14, and invite you to join along. If you don't have your Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, and we will read this beautiful passage that encourages us today. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all that He does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Would you go with me in prayer to our God? Lord, we come to You on this day of worship thanking You for the ability, the time here to be together, that those of us who are here can be here, can worship freely without fear of interference. Father, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters across the world who cannot worship in freedom, but have to constantly be hidden in the dark and looking over their shoulder. We pray that You'd protect them as they worship You and just guard over them and strengthen them. So we thank You for the freedom that we share today in worship. And we thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for this passage that we have just enjoyed together, that reminds us of Your faithfulness to Your children. We thank You, Father, that You are faithful. It is Your strength and not our strength that helps us through each day and guides us through our lives. It is Your wisdom and not our wisdom upon which we lean. It is Your compassion to which we run when we are hurt and when, Father, we need that helping hand and that encouragement. And it is to You that we come to celebrate all those wonderful joys that You give us in this life. Father, it is Your faithfulness that carries us through life. And it is your faithfulness that provides us a time of rest as we seek it. You allow us to find rest even in the midst of doing your work. You allow us to find rest in the midst of our busy days of caring for loved ones, of caring for children and grandchildren and moms and dads, and of doing the jobs that you called us to do. We can find rest in you because we rest in the palm of your hands. There's no better place to be than in your rest and in your eternal care. So thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, that makes that kind of wonderful rest possible, that kind of encouragement that comes through your faithfulness. We thank you for calling us together to be church family, to work side by side, to glorify your name. Thank you for the tangible evidence of your presence in this congregation and the great amount of love that is here for each other and for those who are outside the walls. Thank you that we can see that compassion in action. We praise you for that. Now, Father, help us to be a strong church for you, to be faithful in our call, to find rest when we're weary and even in the midst of going and doing and serving, and help us most of all to shine forth Jesus, to always have him at the forefront, always lifting him out and up, staying hidden behind the cross, just lifting him up. Use us as your light in this world. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Our order of worship aptly describes this part of the service as the prayer of thanksgiving. I think it's particularly appropriate on this 4th of July weekend that we take a moment to give thanks. On Friday, we celebrated the 238th anniversary of our country's claim to certain rights, among those rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our pursuit of happiness, unfortunately, is bombarded with negativity in many aspects of life. Just turn on the evening news. We have so much for which we should be thankful. Living in this great country at this point in history is truly a blessing. I was recently reading an article by Morgan Hass. I'd like to share just a very few brief highlights from that article. Advances in medicine have been quite dramatic. The average American now retires at age 62 and lives to age 79. A mere 100 years ago, the average American didn't live past the age of 51. We should enjoy our golden years. Our ancestors didn't have any. 2% of American homes had electricity in 1900. Even by 1950, close to 30% of American homes did not have electricity. It wasn't until the 1970s that virtually all homes were powered. Adjusted for wage growth, today electricity costs one-tenth as much as it did 100 years ago. According to the Census Bureau, only 1 in 10 American homes had air conditioning as recently as 1960. That rose to 49% in 1973 and 89% today. Simple improvements like this have changed our lives in immeasurable ways that we can easily take for granted today. If we think about it, today, rather than giving thanks when we have air conditioning, all of us tend to complain when it's not working. You need an annual income of $34,000 a year to be in the richest 1% of the world. For the top 20%, it's $5,000 a year. America's poorest are some of the world's richest. The percentage of Americans age 65 and older who live in poverty has dropped from nearly 30% in 1960 to less than 10% today. And I'll close with this one. No one has died from a nuclear weapon attack since 1945. If you went back to 1950 and asked the world's smartest political scientist, they would have told you that the odds of seeing that happen would be very close to zero. You don't have to be very imaginative to think that the most important news story of the past 70 years is what didn't happen. Let us give thanks. Father, we love you. We gather today to offer you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for the many good and wonderful things that surround us each and every day. Grant us the wisdom to see your blessings in our lives. Help us to realize how much we truly have and how much we can afford to give of ourselves to others. We are so very fortunate to be living in this country at this point in time. Deliver us from the evil of fear, negativity, and despair. Give us the strength, courage, and wisdom to reach out to those less fortunate among us. We ask that you bless this church and its congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for the cheerful spirit of those who are able to give of their time and talents to help build a home for those in need. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country. Guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in thy name. Amen.
My faith will When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my
beautiful song. We are still in the book of Matthew. We've been here for a couple weeks, and today it may seem like a little mixed message compared to the last couple of weeks, but we'll get to that in just a moment. For right now, let's just read together from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and then we'll jump down to Matthew 25 through 30. This is our lectionary reading, so it's got a lot of stuff in it, and we're going to kind of be focusing toward the end of it. We'll read the whole passage together from Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 16. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Then jumping over to verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And you say, Raymond, for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about taking up our cross. We've been talking about the fact that life is not easy, nor did Jesus promise it would be easy. And then in verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What's the deal? The deal is it's about relationship. If you go back, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's about relationship. We are on a journey that has to do with relationship with the God who created us and his Son who was sent for us to teach us how to do a number of things. Among those is rest and where to receive rest. Have you ever caught yourself saying, I just need to rest? We already heard about the work days on Friday and Saturday. And Roger, when I was driving home both days, that was kind of in my mouth. I just need to rest. I'm not particularly bright because yesterday I went home after working out there and washed 3 cars. I'm not particularly bright. I would have been better to go inside and rested. Rest. Maybe on the way to church this morning you said, I just need to rest. Maybe when Jeff was showing you sleeping bag and pillow, it kind of prompted you and you started feeling sleepy all of a sudden. Maybe some of you are nodding off even now as I'm droning away. And if that's what you need out of this next 10 minutes or so, go for it. It's all right. Everybody, leave everybody else alone. Mind your own business. Let them sleep. Unless you're the choir. I'll turn around. You see, Jesus not only promised rest in Matthew 11, 28 that we've just read, but he also practiced rest. He gave us a great example. He rested often. Rest was a part of the natural ebb and flow of Jesus' life. Consider the following words found in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 13, which is a couple chapters away, the first verse of that, it said, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Now, what do you suppose he was doing there? He wasn't counting fish. He wasn't counting boats. He was resting. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, in the morning while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. Why? Partially because he was talking with his Father, but he was also resting. He was resting. In Luke chapter 4, verse 42, he went into a deserted place. You see that phrase a lot in the Gospels. Go back and read them. What's he doing? He's withdrawing. He's getting out of the hustle and bustle of life. He's resting. He's talking with the Father. He's thinking. He's working through the stresses of life and the responsibilities of life and just resting for a few minutes. In John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. Now, what was he doing by the well? Yes, he did have a divine appointment. If you go and read that chapter, it is a remarkable appointment that he fulfilled. But it says he was tired by his journey, so he sat there, and the disciples went. What was he doing? He was resting. Time and time again, there are many texts in the Gospels where Jesus, when he's not healing, when he's not teaching, when he's not counseling, what's he doing? He's resting. He's experiencing what Richard Swenson referred to as margin. Margin, according to Swenson, is space between load and limit. Okay? With so much expected of Jesus, so much placed upon him, so much at stake, so little time apparently, how was Jesus able to give himself permission to rest? That's a question we need to wrestle with for just a minute. Even those in the ministry have this struggle. You know, when do we rest? When do we feel guilty about not doing something? How and why was Jesus able to rest so easily and frequently? Consider these possibilities. What if Jesus believed that turning it off, it being kind of life and all that responsibility, what if Jesus believed that turning it off was as important as turning it on, and that you couldn't really turn it on unless you took time to turn it off? What if Jesus believed that there were dimensions of God, dimensions of personhood? He was fully God, fully man. What dimensions of God and personhood and life that could only be accessed through leisure and Sabbath? What if Jesus believed that rest did not detract from his creative labor, but rather preserved, replenished, and ignited it? You see, perhaps learning more about the secret power, the unsung benefits of rest, will inspire us to rest more. That's why I'm here today. You see, for us action-driven Americans, you know, we think we have got to work all the time. You know, there's a practical reason to rest. I think we can learn a lot of things from other cultures. And one thing that we can learn from our friends to the south of the border is the value of a good siesta. I plan on taking one this afternoon, curling up in front of a roaring TV and taking a little nap. You know, maybe our generations prior to us, when they worked early in the morning to lunchtime and then took a little nap in the hammock or had a picnic or had friends over or had a good 4th of July celebration and rested for a day, maybe they were a little brighter than we are. So what are the selling points then of all this rest talk? What are the selling points of rest? Let me suggest three to you. I'm sure there's a lot more, but these are the three that I thought maybe we could land on this morning. First of all, rest gives us the ability to better handle those times when suddenly, without warning, we are hit by something that seems catastrophic. I'll give you an example. Maybe an unwelcome diagnosis. Maybe an accident. Someone that you knew or know or loved or a family member. How about a family member's pained confession? How about a friend's difficult request? How about an employer's unwelcomed decision at your expense? How about the sudden death of a friend or a loved one? Now, you take all of those things. If we're living on little to no rest, chances are those type of situations will leave us completely drained. One of the greatest hidden benefits, I believe, of a rest habit is that it places us in a better position to withstand the surprise blows of life. To ensure that we have the strength we need for those moments, I think we need to learn to rest even when we're not tired. Does that make sense? Have you ever been so tired that you can't rest? I mean, you've been outside. Friday and Saturday were good examples. Once again, you come home and you think, man, I'm going to sleep good tonight. And you just toss and turn all night. You're too tired sometime to rest. Let me suggest resting when you're not tired necessarily. At such times, you don't necessarily have to force yourself to sleep. Maybe just withdraw from the fray of life for a few moments. Take a nap in the hammock. Kick back in the recliner for a few minutes. They tell us that 20-minute power naps are the optimal. That's fine. I prefer 2 hours, okay? For those of you that dig the 20 minutes, that's cool. But, you know, 2 hours is a good one, you know? And when you take those, even when you're not exhausted, it helps you to build up a good energy reserve. You know, we're so used to living with little or no energy, we can't even imagine having more energy than we presently need at that moment. And having more energy than you need should not be seen as a luxury. I believe it should be seen as a savings account. All right, deposits intentionally stored up for the inevitable taxing moments of life. Try it. Let me know how it goes for you. A second unsung benefit of rest is that it maximizes our energy. Years ago, I saw a video, and it was a good video. Don't get me wrong. It may come across a little bit negative, but it really was a good video. And it had to do with teenagers. It was during my youth ministry years. And this was a very highly energetic, motivational teacher that just, I mean, you were exhausted by the time you ended the video. But he was talking about how to encourage teenagers to aspire to excellence. And I like that part of it. I think sometimes we sell our teenagers short. You know, I try to always encourage them to aspire to excellence, whatever that means in their life, however God has gifted them, however God has placed them in their journey. Always, always, not just teenagers, everyone, aspire to excellence. And mostly I agreed with his talking points, to be honest. I really did. But I disagreed strongly in one particular example that he gave, in those portions where the speaker spoke as if rest was an enemy of achievement. At one point, he encouraged students on the video to emulate a popular entertainer of that day who went days without sleeping while working on projects. And I thought, that's crazy. Don't encourage these kids to do that. Rest is not an enemy of achievement. Rest is the best friend of achievement. And more importantly, rest allows us to more clearly hear the voice of God as he calls us to higher achievement than we could ever imagine in and of ourselves or accomplish with the help of any energy drinks and power bars. I mean, it's just, you can't outdo God and what he wants for us. And as I began to think back in the years of ministry, that the most productive moments, those moments that I look back on and go, wow, those were special. The interesting thing is that those were not at moments of high work activity. They were at moments of rest. Whether it was asleep or just resting and reflecting and observing others and what was going on around you. Those are the good moments. And I need to remind myself, and I need you to remind me sometimes of that little tidbit. We need to remind each other. Rest maximizes what we do. Thirdly, rest enhances our awareness for effective decision making. Sometimes we're unable to make important decisions because we're just too tired to do it. We're exhausted. You know, fatigue can become a fog that impedes clarity and causes mental sluggishness. In the 9 o'clock service, I was teasing Mitch because on the job site Friday afternoon, by the time Friday afternoon had rolled around, it was 5 o'clock or something like that. You know, we were trying to make decisions about how we tie the house, and it became quite humorous because neither one of us were really capable of making a decision about where to eat supper, let alone how we're going to work on this house. Fatigue causes mental sluggishness, and effective decision-making requires energy, quite frankly. So if you find that there's the decision that you need to make in your life that you just can't seem to quite wrap your mind around it, there's a very real possibility that you're not just being a procrastinator. It may just be that you're just exhausted. If that's the case, the remedy is not to plow through. The remedy is to step back and rest. Resting gives you the opportunity to restore your mental and spiritual capabilities. Once your energy is not just back but enhanced, you're better positioned. You have more clarity. You have more confidence. You're more able to hear God's voice clearly. Those moments. If you're at the point now, and some of you may be, I don't know, with this number of people here, there's a high likelihood that some of you are at the point where you're just kind of burned out personally or maybe even professionally. I've been close twice in my life that I can put my finger on. close enough that I can now recognize the symptoms. But if you're there, or if you've ever been there, we need to hear the counsel of Jesus from our story today. And who is it that gives rest? Let me read it to you again. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus gives rest. If we are faithful disciples, we call ourselves Christians, which means Christ ones. If we are truly faithful disciples, would we not want to follow the example and the teachings of our Lord and Savior? Yeah. When he says we need rest, he tells us where to find it. We need rest. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious God and Almighty King, Creator, Sustainer, Savior, we confess that we take too much upon ourselves and try to serve as our own God and our own Lord. And in those moments, Father, we ask that you give us a very clear reminder of who you are and who we are not. We pray that when we push ourselves to the point of exhaustion purely for human purposes, that you would remind us gently or not so gently, as we may need, to understand to rest in you, to draw our strength from you, to draw our wisdom from you. Father, as we do so, we pray that we would become more like Christ, more like your Son, who you sent to teach us how to live. And as we do that, we are able to point others to you through your Son, through the effect, through the change that has been made in our life because of him. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all of these things. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus, you do not have that personal relationship that's necessary to know him and to know the Father, I invite you, as we sing in just a moment, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're at the point where you're not really ready to come and talk about it here in front of people, that's fine. Call me this week. We'll get together and talk about it. If you're here and you're a believer and you're just exhausted, maybe it's time just to kind of open your heart up to God and say, "God, I need rest, and I need you to show me how to get that done." The altar will be here if you'd like to come pray here, or maybe surely where you're standing. You can just open your heart, be honest with him, and allow him to replenish you and to give you that rest. If you're here this morning, you'd like to be a member of this church, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. our benediction, I invite you to greet one another, and I hope that you have a wonderful, restful afternoon. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. The beauty of creation around us, the beauty of the relationships that we share with those standing beside us, in front of us, behind us, as we worship you and encourage one another. God, we thank you for the gift of life that you give us each day, and the gift of life that you give us, eternal life that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.